Every day we hear news about violent assaults, carjackings, and other acts of crime spiraling across the United States. Washington's answer is to confiscate your guns, but a new book from Regnery offers hope for a better solution. Professional firearms instructor and veteran gun store owner Larry Correa's new book, In Defense of the Second Amendment, pulls back the curtain on Washington's gun-grabbing agenda and how you can protect your rights as well as your family. Get In Defense of the Second Amendment, new from Regnery, available at Amazon.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Well, hello and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get going right off the bat, but I want to introduce my guest, and Randy's got a few things to say, and then I'm going to get caught up for the last call, and then the show is all Joe's. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce none other than the lovely Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good evening, Wendy.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's good to have been sitting in to be with you tonight.
Oh, well, I'm glad to be with you guys.
And also, we have Randy Gay sitting in studio. Hi, Randy.
Hey, be blessed, no stress. And thanks, everybody, for doing a good job. Thank you.
And we have the lovely Lisa here.
Good evening, everyone.
It's going to be answering the phones, along with Eric in the back and along with Frank. And we got Kyle spinning the dials, taking care of everything over there. My name is Dwayne Risco, known as Coach Dwayne, sitting in for Pastor Sanders. And down in Missouri, the walking encyclopedia, none other than Joe Larson. Pastor Joe Larson, good evening, Joe.
Good evening. Thank you, Coach. Welcome, everybody, to the program. Pastor Ernie is doing well. They sent him home and told him to stay in bed and sleep and get some lots and lots of rest. And just letting you know that thankful for all the prayers, but continue with the prayer. He is still going to need to recover. He's had an entire shoulder replaced, and it's going to be a while, and it's going to be kind of hard. So keep him in prayer, please. And anyway, welcome to the program. We have been doing, for a Bible study, taking a look at America's founding document, the Bible, and where the founders got their ideas for our constitutional republic. Guess what? It's the Bible. I'm going to start with a couple of comments tonight.
So Pastor Joe, can I interrupt?
A while back,
with the 888
did an article.
It's okay, come on.
We're back in 2016.
And I think we're also excited.
Americans are skeptical of God, but think heaven is real.
We thank God.
There were more people in America who believed in heaven than believed in the living, resurrected God.
No.
Run that through your computer for a minute and notice it makes very little sense.
Hey, Joe, excuse me, did you hear Randy by any chance?
Or am I not on? Am I not on? Can you hear me now?
You are now, yeah.
Okay, don't forget we got to do 888-281-1110. Everybody, 888-281-1110 and 888-877-9673. One more time, 888-677-9673. For those of you that need it, the address if you want to mail it in yourself. And obviously, once you send us something with your address on it, we can send you our perpetual newsletter once a month. And it's at no cost to anybody. And that the address that it goes to is 14781 Sperry, Sperry Road. That's Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. And you can certainly send it in to WRWL Ministries. And we want to say thank you very much. And please, everybody, remember that a pledge does not involve having to give it immediately tonight. So if you don't have it on your credit card and you just want to pledge it for a couple weeks from now, then certainly that's acceptable. And I'm asking you that just because you can give a little, don't forget that you shouldn't give it all, because the foundation of this ministry are donations under $20. Thank you so much for those who give generously, but everybody does. If you give a dollar, as far as we're concerned, it's generous. Thank you, because so many people listen and don't give. So thank you so much, and thank you, because what you don't realize is that you're a blessing, especially to Pastor Ernie, because we know he worries about whether or not we can remain on the air from day to day, month to month. So thank you much. Please continue to pray for us, and please continue to give. Thank you in Jesus' name.
And Joe, forgive me. Let me caught up with five off the board so they can move the board. Last night, the last call was Earl from New Jersey, pledged at 60. Dan in Ohio gave 100. William in New York gave 50. Andrea in Ohio gave 50. So we want to thank you so much. So God bless. Take it away.
Hey, if you guys keep that up, we'll just keep you there till 12:30. Never mind. I had to do that. We did forget to mention this is Pledge Week. We got so many things we wanted to get into tonight, so many things we wanted to do. I guess we all forgot just to remind you that it is Pledge Week. Anyway, I started off with the idea that this nation has had a kind of at a crossroads. More people believing in heaven. They think heaven's real, but not sure God is. Kind of strange. Anyway, I was looking at the America's Value Study. It's from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. And what they did is they asked people, regardless of their faith, what America's foundation for determining right and wrong is. They were given three options: the Bible, what respondents feel in their hearts, or majority rule. And this really kind of bothered me. The largest proportion of quite a few people interviewed, 42%, said what people feel in their heart is how we should determine right and wrong, which determines our laws, right? 29% said majority rule, and 29% said choose the Bible. So Dr. George Barna, who conducted the research, and he's been doing this for many years, very good, stated it this way: 7 out of 10 adults, 71%, now contend that man rather than God should be the judge of right and wrong in America, which, folks, should be terrifying to you if you look at history and see what happened when men are in control. I hate to tell you, but it's a violent, bloody history of the world. So I'm going to start with a president of the United States, Calvin Coolidge, 1926. He said the principles which went into the Declaration of Independence are found in the sermons of the early clergy. They preach equality because they believe in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. They justified freedom by the text that we are all created in a divine image. He actually had read Thomas Jefferson, because Jefferson had been asked, where did the ideas for these principles, the rules for the republic, where did they come from? And he gave the names of several pastors and theologians. And, of course, what were they doing? Quoting from the Bible. So we left off last night. We found where they got the founders got the idea of the Senate, the House of Representatives, the cabinet, the president, his qualifications. Now, remember, this is a very brief study. I'm highlighting only. Then we have, well, we just mentioned equality of man, taxes. We'll take a look at a couple things. In Exodus chapter 30, there's some verses I want to read. And starting in Exodus 30, verse 11, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. This they shall give every one that passes among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A half shekel shall be the offering to the Lord. Every one that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. All right, this was a special tithe for the church to establish the church, the temple. But it was like the idea of establishing a government. They filled that in because here was the key. In Exodus 30:15, the rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering to the Lord to make atonement for your souls. They're saying quite clearly that the rich and the poor in the temple, in the house of God, are equal. There are no higher, lower status. All are equal. Founding Fathers clicked real easy on that. All men are created equal. God says so. I was looking. I have a big dictionary on my desk. It's Webster's 1828. And he defined some things. He defined freedom, a state of exemption from the power or control of another. Its freedom is personal, civil, political, and religious. Independence is a state of being not dependent, complete exemption from control or the power of others, as the independence of a supreme being, God. He's the only one who's independent. Independence, a state where one does not rely on others for subsistence. Independence is the ability to support one's self. Independence is a state where a person acts without bias or influence from others. Sounds like Madison. Yeah. Remember, we were to be a nation capable of self-government. We were to govern ourselves, control ourselves, sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. If we did this, we would be independent, Webster tells us. It's interesting, if you ever get time, check out an 1828 dictionary at your library, if you can find one. You will be amazed at the difference between that dictionary and any other dictionary you can lay your hands on. Now, the idea of rights and freedom, again, and the basis of our legal system, all these things kind of tied together. Samuel Adams, the father of the Revolution, when he was signing, that is, the Declaration of Independence was being signed, Adams declared, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come." John Jay, first Supreme Court Justice, U.S. Supreme Court. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. And last, Alexander Hamilton, the sacred rights of mankind are not to be rummaged through old parchments or musty records. They are written as a sunbeam in the whole volume of human nature by the hand of God himself and can never be erased or obscured by mortal power.
You know, it's so nice, Pastor Joe, that you're going through this.
Callers. There, Andy, do we have some pledges in?
Yeah, I was just saying that it's so nice that you're going through this because I like the idea that you're talking about what they really talked about. I mean, come on, because we are hearing everything now that the men weren't necessarily ministers. They were deists. And we know that that's not true either. Yeah. And it's just nice to hear you going through this way and breaking it down, because I think a lot of people are hearing things they've never heard.
Well, when I give some of these quotes, I have literally pages and pages to back up all of these. I'm doing this very brief. Let's look what the U.S. Supreme Court say. 1982, our laws and institutions must necessarily be based upon the teaching of the Redeemer of mankind. That happens to be Jesus Christ, right? It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense and to this extent, our civilization and institutions, that's laws and government, legal system, are emphatically Christian. You kind of get the idea. There's a lot of those. And I'm trying to simplify. Now, this concept of government, I did quote Madison, we have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to what? The Ten Commandments of God. And we can find those in Exodus 20, verses 3 through 17. And I'll ask you to study that in your own, folks. Take a look at those. You think it's simple, you may not have looked at them for a long time. I'm not going to go through them tonight. Exodus 20, 3 through 17. Now, you can turn your Bibles or you have it to Deuteronomy 6, because this is where a lot of the things that our founding fathers used came from. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land, whether you go to possess it. Remember, founding fathers realized that Israel was given the promised land, but they saw that the Christians were given this new world, America. It was our promised land. So this is what they were banking on. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, keep his statutes, his commandments. Going to go through kind of skim here. Hear therefore, O America, to observe and do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord thy God has promised thee. Hear, O America, the Lord our God is one Lord. And then in verse 5, thou shalt what? This is the great commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. O America, this is where one of our greatest downfalls, we haven't done this. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. How many of us have done that? How many of us have taught our children? Too many of us rely on the public school system to teach our children, and maybe somebody to teach a Sunday school for 30, 45 minutes once a week. No, God tells us that we, the parents, what? Shall talk to them when we're sitting around the house, when we're walking together, when we're lying down, when we're sitting down, when we're resting. We're supposed to teach our children God's laws, the Ten Commandments. And to bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. Pastor Joe has a sign in the front yard of the Ten Commandments, and you walk in, one of the first things you see on my wall, Ten Commandments. Anyway, I'm going to skip down to Deut 6:12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Remember, they were trying to escape from the control of the king, from England, and they realized there was no turning back, and you had to follow and believe in this new constitution, this new government. It was just everybody had committed their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor to bringing this to fruition. So we go through, you can go through all of Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, get down to 24, and God says, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good alway, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us." 1 Corinthians in chapter 7 tells us, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant." Remember, we're a constitutional republic based on the rule of law, laws which do not change, and the founders explicitly again said it was the Ten Commandments of God. George Washington, our first president, and a very godly man, said this, "It is impossible to rightly govern without God and the Bible." Impossible.
Pastor?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you know what
sure.
you're saying goes hand in hand with that granite monument that's in Plymouth, Massachusetts, that our Pilgrim forefathers erected in 1889. It's sitting behind a neighborhood. Nobody knows it's there. People go see the Liberty Bell, but they don't go see this. It's called the Liberty
right.
Matrix, and it's
mm-hmm.
It's based on, the Bible, and it was the kind of the blueprint the nation was founded on, so we'd have a free and just society. And
you're right. There are so many things. It would take us, I think I did a study on that one time on the radio, and it took, I think, almost 2 hours to go over all the things that were on that monument and what their meaning
right.
was.
And yeah,
you're
so
right.
People,
it would be wonderful
yeah.
if people would see it.
Well, if you can't get out and see it, and if you have the internet, you can go up on YouTube and type in Liberty Matrix. Kurt Cameron, he did a little video of it. He produced it, and it'll walk you through it, and it only takes you about 10 minutes.
Okay, Kurt Cameron, and it's on YouTube?
YouTube, yeah. So he has a guy that takes him around the whole monument and points out where they start and where they end up. Liberty is where they end up, because you fought the dragon and you won because you were righteous and you have liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Amen.
There is liberty, right. Amen to that. Randy, do we have any pledges in?
Yes,
we have
two.
Go ahead, Coach.
We got Randall in San Diego, don't pledge $20. And Marlene in Michigan, she pledged $75. Thank you very much. God bless you.
And we still, we need you folks. Before we get to the bottom of the hour, do I have time, Kyle? Okay, great. Real quick, the numbers, please call in, if you would. It's 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673, or 888-281-1110, 888-281-1100. We need you to stay on the air, and please remember, because we haven't forgotten. We lost six. We'd like to get them back. Please be missionaries and ministers and help us, please. Thank you so much. And we're not complaining about our listeners and our supporters because they've been faithful and a blessing. But we need help. And those of you who haven't given, please give. At least try it. And I guarantee you that the Lord will bless you.
Now, what are those numbers again?
888-677-9673.
Slow down. Okay, somebody's right and go real slow.
281-1110. And we'll let you go to the bottom of the hour.
We got another minute. Yes, so give those numbers out again.
888-677-9673. 888-281-1110. If you want to just mail it in, you can go to WRWL.org. Or you can go to the wordcleveland.com and then look up WRWL, the word. We need you. And also the address, for those of you who just want to mail in, is 14781 Sperry Road, and that's WRWL Ministries, 14871 Sperry Road, and that's Newberry, N-E-W-B-U-R-Y, Ohio, and that's 44065. Thank you so much for those of you who are supporting. The rest of you, please pray for us, whether you have it or not. Right. Thank you.
We got 30 right seconds at the top of the hour, or bottom of the hour. We're going to go into a song. Hey, folks, we need to hear from you. Pastor Sanders really wants to stay on the air, so please pick up those phones and give us a call. Hey, here's a great song. This should be Your Heart's Desire by Steve Ragsdale. We'll be right back. The old rugged cross. I love the old rugged cross. Folks, it was my bad. I looked at my sheet and I crossed out the wrong line on my pre-sheet tonight. That was by the Gaithers. I crossed out accidentally the wrong line. So my apologies tonight, but the old rugged cross, that's where salvation is taking place. Jesus came to die in our place and shed his blood to wash our sins away. And the only way we're getting to heaven is through Jesus. Joe, take it away.
You know what? We need to take it. We need to take advantage of that lovely lady that shows up on Wednesday. Her name is Wendy Wilson.
Before I turn it over to her, Randy, I want to do two things.
Okay.
To finish up.
Okay.
September 12, 1782, the full U.S. Congress approved the first English language version of the Bible to be printed in America, paid for by the government, and printed on the front was a congressional endorsement, whereupon resolved that the United States and Congress assembled recommend this edition of the Bible to all the inhabitants of the United States. And then it was given out to all the schools. And then a little piece of forgotten wisdom. Alexis de Tocqueville, when he came, was trying to understand why America was so vibrant, so alive, he realized that the public education was kind of the center of our civilization. And then he cited the preamble of the Puritan provision that every township should have a school. And I want to quote that. Whereas, says the law, Satan, the enemy of mankind, finds his strongest weapons in the ignorance of men, and whereas it is important that the wisdom of our fathers shall not remain buried in their tombs, and whereas the education of the children is one of the prime concerns of the state with the aid of the Lord. My, how we have changed, have we not? Wendy, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, just as a side note, last Friday and then again today, I sent a donation in. So the two of them together are $1,050, so maybe somebody can match that.
Wow.
God bless you.
That would be. We've had a few of those. I think so far we've had five donations. If we can get Wendy, if we can get four other people, we will be on our way to making enough that we can utilize that offer, that $25,000.
That $25,000 offer, that's right.
Yeah, if we can match it, and if we get a few more of those $1,000 pledges, we're going to be very close to being able to do that with some of the extra donations that have come in. So thank you, and that is kind of a challenge out there. There are many of you out there that have businesses, that have a professional practice, that, have the means. You've maybe supported political campaigns, and this is an opportunity to let your money lay up some crowns and treasures in heaven. So thank you. And are there any other donations before we give it to Wendy?
Anonymous in Cleveland just donated $50, and Betty in Michigan, $100. And Carmen in Connecticut, $150. Thank you. God bless.
Yeah. Starting to pick up. Thank you, folks. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Or 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Thank you, folks. Thank you very much.
Wendy, take it away.
Well, I was going to let you guys pick the topic. I have two topics. Do you want to hear about a food additive that causes health problems, or do you want to hear about bone glue?
Well, how about both of them?
There you go.
Well, let's go ahead and start with the food additive thing, because this was actually from another listener that called in and had a question, and this kind of morphed into a report, because it's been reported recently that the substitute sweetener stevia is causing strokes and heart attacks. Did you hear that?
No.
Stevia was a plant.
It is.
I grow it
in my garden. That was kind of
We crunch up the leaves and use it for sugar. We just use the leaves and crunch them up and stuff and use it for sugar.
Nice.
Right. So it was very interesting that I heard that. It's been on the market as a sugar substitute since 1970 here in the United States. So while all of a sudden are they saying it's causing cardio events? That's what was really the question. So a little history about your stevia. It's a shrub cultivated in Australia and South America. It has been used for centuries by natives and as a sweetener, but commercially stevia really didn't become well known until after its discovery in the 1900s by a Swiss botanist, Dr. Moses Bertoni, And by the 16th century, the plant was then being used as a sweetener in medicine as well as in food. Now, the active compound that seems to offer that sweet taste comes from a glycoside that was recorded in 1931 by French researchers. So my point was, okay, so great. Stevia has been around a while. Now all of a sudden they're saying it's causing cardio events. So the Stevia products on the market, guess what? They have an added ingredient to it. It's called erythritol. It's called erythritol. The FDA has approved it as a thickening agent. Now, a recent study that was published July 2022 in the Journal of Nature found erythritol can cause heart attacks and strokes, and the additive can be found also in the blood system of people that are using it. So medical science calls the event outcome cardiometabolic disease, and it's provoked by long-term use of a product that has this in it, and they add it to sweeteners. So what's really interesting is the research is calling the substitute sweetener erythritol as an added ingredient to stevia is not naturally occurring in the plant, so it's an additive. The journal also said that people that are using a sweetener with this additive for a long term, that's 3 years, will have major adverse cardiovascular events. Events listed were myocardial infarction, which is heart attack, stroke, and death. So the food additive, actually, erythritol, encourages thrombosis or blood clots. Study reports it enhances thrombosis conditions. But it's interesting because it's been approved by the FDA, and that's not a big surprise.
Now, is this the one, that Wendy, that appears naturally, like in monk fruit and that stuff?
Well, according to Food Insights, erythritol is found in foods naturally. It's in grapes, peaches, pears, watermelon, mushrooms, fermented beer, cheese, soy sauce, and wine. But those items aren't causing cardio events, are they?
Okay.
That I know of.
Yeah.
Well, so if erythritol is naturally occurring in foods not known to cause cardiometabolic disease, then why is it being reported to cause it as an additive, like, say, in artificial sweeteners? Apparently, large-scale production of erythritol is created when a type of yeast ferments from, let's say, they get it from corn or wheat starch, and the final product kind of looks like this powdery white crystal stuff. So if something happens to it in the processing that changes it chemically.
Okay.
I'll bet, Wendy, 10 to 1, they found the cheapest way to produce it, and that's what's wrong, because often the cheapest way is not the best or the healthiest, right?
Right. Well, they've been trying to synthesize this, but they can't seem to do it. So, but what they're doing to... Typically, when you take a natural source and you alter it, then it's going to work differently. It's not going to be the same.
Right.
So,
well, folks,
so
I can
anyway,
tell
I just
you
wanted.
One... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, that's the story behind these recent reports, and that's pretty much what I dug up on it.
Well, thanks. I was going to add this. We grow it, and it is so easy, folks. You can grow this in your backyard, in a patio. You just break off a piece and you get it started, use it for a starter. You can grow a dozen plants, you know, as many as you want. Pick the leaves or the stems, they regrow, and they're easy to start many plants. And we just pick and crush up the leaves, and it works really well. It's cheap, it's simple, and like I said, you can take one plant and make 20 and use it all you want, and also just a good little pick-me-up you can take and just chew on a leaf and get that sweet satisfied. So what was the second thing, Wendy?
So, Pastor Joe, you mean you just drop it in like a tea leaf?
Yeah, just and we crumble it up. You can crumble it up.
Mm-hmm.
Mash it. Yeah.
Well, it does grow in Australia. Australia does have cold weather, so I guess it's cold hardy. Yeah.
Well, it grows in Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is we grew a lot of it. And, so it was easy to grow, very easy to grow and propagate. So
neat.
What else did you have?
Well, I came across this article in a journal, you know, they're coming out with all kinds of things, and it's called bone glue. And I thought, are they going to glue people's bones back together? And I'm not thinking it's an anatomy class. I'm thinking it's, you know, somebody's having surgery. So when it comes to adhesive, the heel bones, the scientists at the International Journal of Adhesion and Adhesives, they have a solution for us. They report they have actually come up with a bone glue for fractured and broken bones. So when I was reading this article, Pastor, I was thinking, oh, super glue, Gorilla Glue, you know those commercials?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, so I had to read on. So, and I happened to notice in a lot of these journal articles, there's comments made by scientists and physicians and things in the reports, and a lot of times the attitude is, if we'll build it, the masses will want it. So that's that's kind of the flavor I get there. But my perspective is, you know, people want non-toxic bona fide cures. That's what they want. They don't want newfangled gadgets implanted in their bodies or harmful drug therapies. They want real medicine.
We've got
glue sounds better than all the screws and plates I have in my body, in my ankle, my back, and everywhere else.
Well, you may be safer with the plates and the screws.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have to have steel plates and screws, if they could just glue your bones together? I mean, that sounds interesting.
Well, the International Journal of Adhesion and Adhesive said this October 2020, they said that the need for bone adhesive is a challenge that was reminiscent, and the concept of bone glue to repair fractures and breaks, as well as glue orthopedic devices inside the body, is considered the holy grail, end of quote.
Oh.
So the study is announcing this research. A bone adhesive is what they've come up with, and researchers are clamoring about this creation. They say it's non-mutagenic, and it's non-cytotoxic. Now, a cytotoxic substance would be equal to a snake venom or a brown recluse spider venom or a chemotherapy drug. So they're saying their glue is not like that safe. They also reported the glue works in wet environments. So the compound is made of a multifacetic organic mineral, and it's made into a biomaterial that bonds to bones or to metal implants. So they're saying it's organic and it's safe. And they said this whole bone glue thing is going to evolve. The report was saying the study says the bone glue will bond to bones, but over time it goes through a change. The glue is said to evolve and have a dissolution process. What that means is that it will dissolve over time.
And so the bone knits together, the glue goes away.
Apparently. So this process seems to also provide, according to the report, a super stable and strong bone. They also went on to say that the bone glue can avoid the need for bone plates and screws, and the glue is said to be able to affix orthopedic and other medical devices to bones. And I think they're also going to try to use it in dentistry with the, you know, teeth implants, stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, God, you know, sometimes God puts things out there for mankind to find. You know, he's already, it's already there waiting for discovery. The other thing like that approved by the FDA, I always worry just a little bit when they approve something, don't you?
Yeah. Yes, your additive to stevia is a good example. But, you know, what they had in the past, though, Pastor Larson, is in the 40s they had what they called bone cement, okay? It's has had some negative reactions, tissue reactions over the years. It has what is called an exothermic reaction, which means that the cement reacts to temperature change, and that can cause necrosis of the tissue, which means the tissue starts to die. So the bone cement is actually still being used. It's often used in knee and hip replacements and spinal compression fractures.
Actually, Wendy, I come from that industry. That's what I did before I retired. I had a joint replacement franchise. And bone cement has been very much frowned upon in the past 20 years, because a lot of what they did is that What most of the prostheses now are involved is what they call a press fit. It has a porous surface. They've gotten away from cobalt chrome because 5% of the population is allergic to nickel. So you don't want to get one in and find out you're allergic to it because obviously they got to retrieve it. So everything's pretty much gone towards titanium. But I one of the things that I did do is that we sold a lot of bone slurry, as they called it. And one of the big problems with it is this, is that the market in America calls for, we'll call it 25,000 bodies worth of bone. And right now we can only get around 13, because if you take certain types of medicine, had certain types of diseases, or if you stipulate things like I want my bones to go, let's say if I said I want mine to go to a black child, then no blood bank's going to touch it because they don't want to be involved with the lawsuits. But the truth and reality is that pretty much everything is press fit now. And see, one of the things that happened with Bone Submit was that they reamed out the marrow, which is what they now depend on to grow into the prosthesis. But 50, 60 years ago, they really didn't know that. They were more about keeping the prosthesis in. And when they fail or when the bone breaks again, then obviously you had to go deeper with more glue. But, yeah, but glue is pretty much like not done anymore. It's pretty much with a press fit. And when they do, they line the canal of the bone with a slurry. And they use mineralized or demineralized depending upon the prosthesis. And we sold quite a bit to dentists as well as to the orthopods. But, yeah, they don't use cement nearly as much as they used to. I mean, obviously there are times when they have to, but that's certainly not the thing that they look to do.
Excuse me a minute.
That's good to know.
Randy, what they do use a lot, and I've had several bone grafts, had to have bone grafts, and they worked extremely well.
Oh, yes, they do. Yeah, the grafts do. I'm just saying that, like, the whole process of what they did to when they used the cement really kind of goes against the grain now of what the treatment is.
I just wanted to say that because people might not accept a graft thinking if it's anything like the glue, it's not. It's a separate process.
That's exactly right, because it'll take to the bone.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Give me a moment here. Carmen in Connecticut pledges $150. Mark in Cleveland pledges $100. And Lisa in New Jersey, $100. God bless you, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
We need a few more of you calling in. Just remember, if we've got at least 12 million people out there that listen regularly, and if every one of you sent in a dollar, we wouldn't have to do another fundraiser for years. So, you know, don't be afraid to call in with those $5, $10 donations. They add up. Yes, we'd like to see some people call in and match Wendy with that $1,000 donation, but don't be afraid to call in. The base of our whole ministry has been on small.
And keep in mind that the $25,000 pledge is still there if we can match it. And so, obviously, Wendy's helping match that, and other people have to. We had an anonymous yesterday that's helping, and we can certainly use it. We really, really, really need it, folks. The number that you can call into, as Pastor Joe just said, call into is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. Certainly, you can always go to wrwl.org, and you can do it online. And we keep in mind that no amount is too small.
That's right.
You know, it's all big to us. It's big stuff. And thank you so much. And you all have been faithful and loyal. And we're asking, like Pastor Joe said, it potentially 12 million people are listening at any one time. And I'm asking, truthfully, what we find is roughly statistically, there's about one person that's going to write in or donate for every roughly approximately 19,000 people that are listening. People are going to listen, but they're not going to mail in or write in. So please, please keep in mind that like Pastor Joe said, if everybody gave a dollar just tonight, the people that listen tonight, we'd be golden for a couple years. Please be one of them.
And Wendy, right. You have a catalog, correct?
Yeah, and we have our new catalog. It's going to be here at the end of the month, but we do have our in-stock catalog that we can send out, and it's absolutely free. They can also download a version off our website at thepowerherbs.com. But they can just request one on the website, or they can call the toll-free number at 866-229-3663. That's
866-229. Can you slow that down? I couldn't write it.
Okay. It's 866-229-3663.
All right.
And Lisa,
I'm old and slow, and so are some of our other listeners, right?
Yes. And I think people can even donate on the ministry website, can't they?
Yes, you can go to wrwl.org, and you can use PayPal and use your credit card and donate, and that's what I intend to do with my $200 pledge. And it's real easy, simple, and safe. So you can do that, or you can just call in the 281-1110 number, 888-281-1110, and that's our credit card line, and you can make a donation. Kind of hard for me to do it while I'm talking on the radio to call in and make a donation. It'd be kind of fun. I just haven't figured out how to do it yet.
And Wendy, I want to let you know that I didn't call in a couple times when you were on the air, but I ordered your milk thistle and your barberry from you, along with the Body Foundation American Ginseng. And what I want to tell the people out there, we got 3 minutes at the top of the hour. Folks, I never endorse anything that does not work. I don't get paid for it. Nobody calls me up and tells me to make this comment. From your gallbladder, your bile duct, and your liver and your pancreas, if you take Camoli tea and you put Wendy Wilson's milk thistle and barberry and sip it and drink it, it actually soothed my gallbladder and my liver. When I took the American ginseng, it helped out tremendously. And I've been on the Body Foundation now for a couple of years. People, I'm telling you, you got to get her catalog and you got to do the stuff. Now, everybody has stomach trouble at one time or another, whether it's due to the stupid foods we put in our body, the sugars that we accumulate. But if you want to get right, you start off in the morning with kale and lemon in a blender with some water. Drink it down. Then when you have your tea and you put in the Camoli tea and you put in the barberry and milk thistle, it soothes your intestines. Wendy, am I not on the right trail?
Well, I mean, it sounds like it works for you. I mean, everybody metabolically is different, but a lot of your herbs do have a soothing capacity. So, yeah, I like a lot of herbs that soothe. Slippery elm's good. Marshmallow's good. You got those smooth cell membranes of the digestive tract, and those work as well.
Yeah, well, that's good stuff. We got about we got 1 minute to the top of the hour. Folks, we need to hear from you. My name is Dwayne Risco, known as Coach Dwayne, and I live in Brunswick, a beautiful suburb. I want to give a shout-out to my pastor, Mark Villani, from the People's Baptist Church. Folks, we meet on Sunday morning at the Brunswick Rec Center. Come on in and visit us at 9:30 Bible study. And I want to give another shout-out to all the lovely women that's out there at the McDonald's in Brunswick because they're wonderful people. So I just want to give those shouts out. But we need to hear from you. This radio ministry, Joe Larson is a walking encyclopedia. He's been the Top Gun right-hand man. Randy's here all the time. Lovely Lisa's here. Wendy Wilson's here. John McTernan, Hal Larson. And you have a phone line that you can call during the week for prayer requests. This is a jail ministry. It's a prison ministry. It's a street ministry. They let you know what's going on in government, what's going on in your schools, the homosexual community rumming it down our throat. The government wants to take your rights away, your free speech. This was what this radio ministry is all about. We need to hear from you. We got 20 seconds at the top of the hour. Don't go away. Stick around because Joe and Wendy's got some more stuff.
We need $100 a minute for the next hour. We need about $100 a minute for the next hour, and we have done this more than once. Please.
All right.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left. the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 888-SHARE-19. That's 888-SHARE-19. 888-SHARE-19.